You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from Senior Pastor Graham Nelson. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that it is Father's Day. And Lord, Father's Day with a difference, because we're going to look at you and look at your love for us. Father, I think of the intro that Matt gave us. I think of that word that Dave gave us. I think of the songs that we've sung already. Lord God, we just want to glorify you today, and we want to bathe in your love for us today. Father, we just give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. So this morning is Father's Day with a difference, and difference because I just felt so strongly that rather than thinking about us, we should think about God this morning. Instead of a message to fathers, it's a message to all of us, because all of us have had a father. A message about how deep our Father's love is for us. My hope, my desire is that no one will leave today without knowing, without understanding, without accepting, without experiencing a Heavenly Father's love. There are many reasons for the hope I have. However, a big one is found in 1 John 4, where it says this: "We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. For God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected within us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment." Now, obviously, the day of judgment talks about the end times, talks about that judgment day, talks about that day that we will stand before God. But on the same token, I think that there is an aspect of the day of judgment is out working right now in the world around us. I said last Sunday, I don't think I've ever felt such a sense of chaos in the world as I felt when I came back from Uganda. As I listened to what was happening around the world, as I just started to let my mind image across the world and all of the fights, all of the things that are happening, it's as if I felt that God had taken his hand off and said, "Okay, guys, if you think you can do better, you do better." I don't know whether you ever or have ever seen what's called an auto tray. An auto tray is a very old instrument. It had wheels on it, and if you went to a really, really, really posh restaurant, the auto tray used to have meat on it, and it was covered by a beautiful silver cover, and they would roll this auto tray up to you. They would take the cover off, and they'd say, "Sir, what bit of meat would you like?" "I'll have that sausage, thank you. I like sausages." But the auto tray was there, and it was silver, it covered, and I often feel that God, over this property particularly, has a silver cover, a gold cover, a cover that hedges us around, that's a protection. And I've often felt that God has had that cover over the world. But I think God's taken the cover off, and that there is chaos everywhere. We need that hope. We need that confidence of God's love, that we might be able to face the days that are ahead of us. We know that God loves us because we have so many passages in the Bible, passages that we see often, you know, message on hold around the football grounds, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Or Matthew 6:8, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask it." Now, as I wrote that scripture down, I remember a time that Chris and I were working from home, and we weren't very flush with money at the time. In fact, we were counting our pennies, and a check came in the mail, and as I opened it, I actually felt that God knew my need before I'd even asked it. We hadn't even asked God for this need. We hadn't even told God that we had a need. I remember going into Chris and saying, look, God knows our need before we even ask for it. Our Heavenly Father loves us more than we'll ever understand or imagine. He knows us inside out. He knows our needs inside out. We have this scripture in 1 John 3, verse 1. See what an incredible quality of the love that the Father has shown to us, that we were permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. You know, it blows me away, that thought, that I am a child of God. Matt said it at the start, that we were fashioned and formed in our mother's wombs. Before the beginning of time, God chose us and called us. I am a child of God. My mum used to say to us when we were leaving home sometimes before we went out, remember your name's Nelson. Now, she obviously knew me well. Don't go being naughty, Graham. We don't want it coming back on the Nelson name. I have a name that is a name above every name. I am a child of God. God has adopted me into his family. He's called me his son. He is my loving heavenly father. I had a great dad, but I've got a better heavenly father. Then we have this, Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, or still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Jesus didn't say, hey, when you get your act together, Graham, then I'll save you. While I was yet a sinner, while I was still mucking up, Jesus showed his love for us. Again, incredible thought. Meditate on it. Think about it. And then the text for this morning, Ephesians 3:18-22. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Isn't that the truth? Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You know, if we could understand, if we could comprehend, if we could grasp the incredible power of God's love, the incredible outworking of God's love, if we would receive it, if we would know how wide, how long, how high, how deep it is, then we would be made complete with the fullness of life and with his power. I've been musing on this message over the last couple of weeks since I learned that I was doing Father's Day. And God led me to this song. And I've asked Steph and Rowan and Maddie to sing it to us this morning. As they sing it to us, could I ask that you reflectively listen to the words will be on the screen, that you would allow the Holy Spirit this morning to soften you for what I hope God will do in you, and that is to let you understand and experience fully the greatness of the Father's love for you. Let's listen to this song. It's a song written by Stuart Townend, and it's called How Deep the Father's Love for Us. What's the message that Stuart has penned for us in these words? I think, in short, it's the Father's love and how much he loves us. He is prepared to send his son to pay the penalty for our law-breaking. The depth, the height, the width of it is immeasurable. This selfless act of Jesus brings about forgiveness of sins, a favor upon us which is undeserved. We're all unworthy. In response, we do not boast in anything except Christ and his love. Much of what I say this morning will not be new, as we've had it unpacked throughout the year already, as we've journeyed through the Gospel of John. Yet I want to reiterate some of them again, as we see it through the eyes of the Father, who not only loved his Son, but he loved us as well. The offense that happened prior to Jesus' arrest and subsequent crucifixion did not take Jesus by surprise. It was all part of the plan formed, the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. In speaking of his death, Jesus wanted his disciples and us today to understand that no one took his life from him. He laid it down at his own accord. Jesus was crucified in obedience to his Father's wishes for us because of the Father's love for us. As the sunlight faded that day, as the darkness covered over the whole land, as the temple curtain was torn in two, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." He then cried out, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then, having said that, the Bible says he breathed his last. The amazing drama that unfolded that day caused one of the soldiers to say something like this: "Something has happened here that has never happened before and will never happen again." The centurion then pronounces Christ innocent, and the crowd begins to disperse. In fact, Luke tells us they went home overcome with grief. This is where I find myself reflecting on verse 2 of Stuart's song. "Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice called out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished." I close my eyes. I see the cruel nails. I see the crown of thorns. I see the jeering, mocking crowd. I see the injustice of all that Jesus suffered. And then I realize what it's all about. It's all about how deep the Father's love for us is. It provided us with the provision of salvation through the sacrificial death of Jesus, his only begotten Son, on that instrument of death, the cross. I remember the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 10:17. It says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up. This charge I received from my Father." And that's why Romans 5:8 is so impacting. That God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had died for us. There is not one of us in this room today. There's not one of us on the stream today. There's not one of us in this world today that could have said that we didn't need Jesus to die for us. What a shame the world has not received what Jesus did. We would not be in the mess we're in today. if we had taken advantage of the Father's love through His Son. He didn't love us because it was prompted by anything in us or that we had done. He didn't love us because we deserved it. He loved us just because He loves us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? He loves us just because He loves us. I said at the start of my message this morning, my hope and desire is that no one will leave here today without knowing, without understanding, without accepting, experiencing our Heavenly Father's love. In 1 John 4, it says, so if we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us, this passage tells us clearly that it's possible to come to know something, but not to believe it. And it's also the opposite, because the Bible says that the demons believe, but they don't know. That's why John says in this passage, we've come to know and believe. Many Christians know the intellectual love of God. But I wonder how many have not come to believe it from a personal living standpoint. How many have made what Jesus done null and void because they haven't accepted that love. They haven't received that love. They haven't appropriated that love into their lives. I know that I sin. I know that I fall short of God's glory. I know that I deserve whatever I get. But I also know the love of God. I don't fear God. I used to. I don't fear God in that sense of, ooh, He's going to get me. God loves me. Man, the freedom that came into my life the day that I felt secure in God's love. That's the hope. That's the prayer. That's the desire that I have for today. That we would go out of here with that weight, that guilt, that burden gone. The knowledge that we don't deserve it. The knowledge that we are and do fall short of God's glory. But also the knowledge, because of the love of God, we have the right to walk in freedom. The right to walk without that weight, that anchor holding us down. If I gave you a piece of paper today and I said, write down the answer to this question, does God love you? I think most of you would say yes, as much as you would say yes if I said, does God forgive you for your sins? But then if I made it more personal and I said, does God love you unconditionally? I think many would struggle. I think a lot would say, sometimes I'm not so sure. And yet John says, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. It's as simple as this little statement. Accepting what Jesus did on the cross for you is accepting God's love for you. Our very salvation boils down to an expression of God's love for us. But it is also an act on our part of receiving that love. Receiving that love through faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Knowing that you will fall short of God's glory sometimes. Knowing that you will make a mistake. But knowing that God has opened the door that we can come and ask forgiveness. And because of what Jesus has done, it is finished. Once and for all, Christ died for us, the Bible says. God loves me. I know that. I received His love when I accepted what Jesus did for me on the cross. I remember the day. And I continue to remember the day every time I ask Him to forgive me for what I do wrong. In 1 John 4:19 it says, we love because he first loved us. Love didn't originate with us, it originated with God, for God is love. And the reason we love is because he first loved us. In the Old Testament, God put a requirement in the law that the children of Israel would love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. We know the law. We know the Ten Commandments. The big trouble with the law was that it couldn't do anything to produce that kind of love. It was just a law. It was written on a bit of paper or a tablet of stone. God solved the problem by sending his son, the lawbreaker. The manifestation of his love to give himself for us. The depth of God's love for us is reflected in how far he was willing to allow his son to suffer that we might gain our freedom. Think about that. It's very easy to say Jesus died for our sins, but it speaks nothing of how he died. Speaks nothing of what he suffered on our behalf. In verse 1 of the song, it says that the Father turns his face away. In Matthew 27:46, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I can't think of anything more harsh, more hard, than to think of that rejection that Jesus felt then. Jesus wasn't being rejected by his Father. It was our sin that was being rejected by his Father. The sin that Jesus carried on our behalf on that cross. Jesus took upon himself rejection so that we can be accepted. Again, I don't think we truly understand the depth of his suffering. As I reflect and meditate on how willingly he suffered, I start to be able to accept and get an idea of his love. My heart swells up with gratitude, appreciation and love towards God. You gave me everything, God. How can I not give you everything? I love because he loved me first. We love because he loved us first. So this morning, as we come to a close, communion is being handed out. I think we would not normally do it a Father's Day because we have the children in, because it's such a busy morning. But this morning, I hope, with the children in, that we will take communion as a family and we would reflect on the Father's love for us. I'm going to ask Steph and Rowan and Maddie to come back again, and I'm going to ask them to sing again for us. Once everyone's got their elements, this beautiful song. This morning, I ask of one thing, that you would cocoon yourself in your own little shell, forget what's around you, and that you would consider how deep the Father's love for us is. Let's take communion together. And let's just appreciate our loving Father. If you haven't taken communion right now, I encourage you to do so. There might be people in this room today, and for the first time ever, you've started to feel God's love for you. There might be people in the room or on the stream that you've never asked Jesus into your life. You've never accepted the Father's love. I encourage you to do that right now. Between you and God. God knows your heart. All you've got to do is say, Jesus, thank you for dying. Thank you for your obedience. forgive my sins. And if you do that, please make certain you contact the office. We'd love to talk to you, pray with you, give you some material to help you as you start your walk. Let's stand and let's sing this song as our prayer today. Let's show our appreciation to God for His incredible love. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.